Welcome to Living Faith Fellowship in Klamath Falls, Oregon. We pray that God will use today's message to speak to you directly and transform you eternally. And now to Pastor Rich.
I heard a story about a man who brought his friend Bob home for dinner. And so when he got home, he embraced his wife. He thanked her for the clean house. He thanked her for dinner, told her how pretty she was, how grateful he was for her heart, and all these sort of things. The meal is over. He thanked his wife again gave her all these compliments and just went on and on telling her how much she meant to him. So Bob said, "Hey, what's the deal with all this thankfulness? I mean, I appreciate you being thankful, but this was over the top." And so the friend said, "You know, Bob, since I started this, I can't begin to tell you how it's improved our relationship. Telling my wife how great she is and how thankful I am for her, it's so improved our relationship." And Bob was like, "No kidding. I think I'll try that." So Bob gets home. He walks in the front door and he says, "Sweetie, so good to see you. You're so beautiful. I'm the luckiest man on the planet. Thank you for taking care of the kids. Thank you for taking care of the house. I love you so much." And the wife said, "Today has been a terrible day." And Bob was a little dumbfounded and said, "What do you mean it's been a terrible day?" "Well, first the car breaks down. Then Johnny was sent home for fighting in school. And now you show up drunk." Terrible story to start for Thanksgiving, huh? Please open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 17. We're going to take a several week break out of the book of Acts for the holidays. And today, because Thanksgiving's this week, I want to talk about the importance of having a thankful heart. You know, for a Christian, thankfulness is an attitude that we should have not only on Thanksgiving, but we should have every day of our lives. We should be thankful. Thankful for what the Lord has done for us. Thankful for what we haven't encountered. And just thankful because God is so good and He is sovereign. Do you know, actually, by being thankful, we fulfill the Lord's Prayer. Think about this. In the Lord's Prayer, that His kingdom would come and that His will would be done here on earth. And so by being thankful, we're fulfilling that. And in our narrative this morning from Luke chapter 17, we're going to see a man who was truly thankful for what God had done. So if you got your Sunday sermon notes, Roman numeral 1, everyone has the same condition. If your Bibles are open, Luke 17, let's begin at verse 11. It says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there he met 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off." I read a true story this week that I want to share with you. It says, after suffering from a serious illness that left her bedridden for months, Jessica began feeling defeated and hopeless. She faced significant physical frailties. I mean, she couldn't get out of bed. She had all these things going on, and it was hard to maintain a good attitude while she was so sick. People had to help her to the bathroom. People had to help her in and out of bed, all these things. And so with these significant challenges, her emotions began to run wild, and it was hard to stay positive. However, during the healing process, she just started to discover some processes of being thankful for little things that changed her whole outcome. Each day, she told herself, "I am going to be thankful for 3 specific things, even while I lay in bed, even when I can't walk, even when I need help to go into the bathroom." So she started saying stuff like, "Lord, thank you that for my salvation. Lord, thank you for family who loves me and can help me. Lord, thank you for this and thank you for that." And she went on. And this practice began to shift her mindset from despair to hopefulness. And she seized on that and she said that, you know, pain and suffering can coexist with thankfulness. And through this new perspective, as she recovered physically, she kept that practice going and it changed her whole mindset. Her mental health healed so much during that process. You know, there are a lot of forces in the world, and some push us towards Christ, some pull us away from Christ. And thankfulness pushes us towards Christ. So here in Luke 17, 10 men had this terrible condition. Verse 12 says, 10 men, and they were all lepers, 10 of them, and they all stood afar off. They're in your notes. Leprosy was a painful disease, but the physical pain was not the worst part of the disease. The worst part was that the lepers had to be separated, catch this, from the rest of society. Okay, lepers at that time were outcasts. And think about this. They had to be put away from their wife, their friends, their family, couldn't see their kids, any of these things. Anyone that they would see, they had to see from afar off because they were contagious. If you read Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, it gives us the law on how society was to treat people with leprosy. Now, the word leprosy back then could be any skin ailment. It could be a red spot or a white spot, so many things. But because they didn't have a lot of dermatologists, they didn't know what was contagious and what wasn't. There in your notes, lepers had to keep their distance and warn others by ringing a bell and yelling to anyone who came in contact, unclean, unclean. Imagine having to walk down the street, someone comes within 20 feet of you, and you got to yell at them, I am unclean. How'd you like to have to do that? How humiliating. And these poor men, no one knows how long it's been, but they've been alienated from their family. They've been alienated from synagogue, work, all of it. And here they are, no one to heal them, no cure. And here they are. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? You know, it's unique that Jesus had a plan to go to Jerusalem, but he purposely goes another way just to meet these 10 men. It's almost like he knew they were going to be there. Let's not get carried away. But this should be our model of ministry as well, right? Go out and reach the lost and hurting. Not just open the doors of the church and say, man, I hope they come Sunday. Come hear my pastor. You know, you'll get a good rest. No. Go and reach the lost and hurting. But here's the one where I'm going to meddle a little this morning. Is it okay? Even if it isn't, I'm going to meddle a little anyway. But do you realize that prior to Christ, this was your condition as well? You were sick and no one could heal you. We all had the same ailment. Just like these 10 lepers, we're all in the same boat. We were separated from the holy God of the universe and no way to be healed. Ephesians 4:17, Paul said, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of your mind, there in your notes. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of your heart. God's law very clearly declares everyone who was ever born to be alienated from God. Every one of us are sinners. In fact, the prophet Isaiah put it this way, Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone away. We have all turned everyone to his own way. And catch this. And the Lord has laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. All of our sins were laid on Jesus. What I have found in my Christian walk is, you know, sometimes I know I'm a sinner, but sometimes I think I'm not as bad as you. And I know none of you do that. Praise God, you're not like me. But I mean, don't we have that tendency to look and go, well, I've never murdered. I've never raped. You know, I've never cheated on my wife. So, man, I'm not that bad of a guy. You know, Jesus really got a bargain when he saved me. And I know none of you, again, think like that. It's just me. But when we give it into that self-righteous attitude, we have a tendency to become unthankful realizing everything that God has done for us. And what's so cool about doing communion every week is if we take the time and remind ourselves why we have to do this. Why did Jesus have to take the cross? Who put him up there? Did the Romans? Did the Jews? No, my sin put him up there. And when we stop and think about that and we think, why did Jesus have to go to the cross? Because just like these lepers, he had the only cure. He had the only cure. Well, I don't like that cure. Well, that's too bad, because that's the only cure. And while we were far off from him, we were sick and we needed a cure for our relationship. Matthew 9:11 says, the Pharisee said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Catch his mission statement. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Why did Jesus come? His whole mission statement. To call us to repentance, that we might have eternal life in Christ. So all these men in our narrative, every one of them are in the same position. And then notice Roman numeral 2, they all prayed the same thing. Look at their prayer in verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, catch this, they were healed. When were they healed? As they went, as they obeyed, as they did things God's way. Oh, there's a thought, right? But notice they all utter the same prayer. Notice there in your notes, A, they all recognize their need, right? No one had to tell them you have leprosy. And no one had to tell him there's no cure, and no one had to tell him Jesus is the only way. They all cried the same prayer. Do you know the reason why people won't call on the Lord for salvation? Is because they haven't been brought low enough yet. They haven't got to the place in their heart where they realize their need for a Savior. Because when you realize your need for a Savior and you realize there's no one on earth that can save you, you will call on the only one who can. When the Lord reveals himself to us, that's when we draw near to him and he will draw near to us. James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. There's a promise. If you will draw near to God, he promises he will draw near to us. So think about how lonely these men were. Again, they couldn't feel a touch from their wife. They couldn't embrace their children. They couldn't, you know, even kiss their children on the forehead, any of those things. And again, Jesus had the complete healing. You know, Romans 3:23, it uses a word and it goes something like this, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I did a word study on all, and all means all, and that's all means. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the problem is in our world, not everyone recognizes their need for Jesus. Be there in your notes. They all obeyed the Lord. Jesus told them to go see the priest. Here's a dumb question. Do you think the priest had the ability to heal them? Do this. The priest did not have the ability to heal them. Only Jesus had that ability. So why go to the priest? Jesus had the ability and the authority to pronounce healing, but he wanted them to go to the priest. Why? Show a couple of things to show the rest of the world that Jesus did this and to show that they were willing to do it God's way because they were thankful. There in your notes, here's a key. Being thankful in life puts me into God's will. Wait, what? Being thankful actually draws me into God's will. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, even in the tribulations. Pray without ceasing, but don't close your eyes on the highway. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you in everything. Notice it doesn't say when things are going your way. Notice it doesn't say when the paycheck stops, you can stop. Notice what it says. Your back hurts so bad you can't get out of bed. In everything, give thanks. Why? It's the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and me. And in this case, Jesus wanted to use this healing as a testimony to reach more sick people. Us. Again, Leviticus 13 and 14 gives all the rules on what a leper had to do, all the law, all the Mosaic law. And the thing is you had to go see a priest. If the priest looked and saw white or red spots or any kind of rash going on, you had to go back in because you were contaminated. If you were clean, here's what you had to do. If you were clean, you had to go offer some special offerings, wait a week, still clean, then you could shave, do special bathing, and then and only then could you come back to God's sanctuary. Only after you followed all those steps. And so by telling the lepers, go and show yourself to the priest, he wanted them to demonstrate to everyone around, I have been cleansed. What a model for us. You know, some of us want to be undercover Christians. I want my fire insurance, but I really don't want to talk about this Jesus stuff at school or work or whatever. Because what will people think if they find out that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do if they find out that it's true? I think there's a song like that. I'm not sure. However, go and show yourselves. Go and demonstrate that there's been a life change. And so remember, all these men, they have the same condition. All of them prayed the same thing. But let's read what happened. Roman numeral 3, the thankfulness of one. Look at verse 15. And it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. And with a loud voice, catch that, he glorified God. He fell down at his face, at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Wow. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give God the glory except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. How convicting is that? There in your notes, all 10 of those men had the same illness. All of them asked for the same healing, but only one returned to Jesus with thankfulness. You know, so many times we forget that we all enjoy God's blessings. If you are alive today, no matter what your condition, you have been blessed by the Lord, and so many of us forget it. Listen to what Matthew 5:45 says. And he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust. You're blessed. Whether or not you're saved, God gives certain blessings. Of course, his kids are more blessed. But I was visiting a church one time in Kansas. And during this service, it was an evening service. And the pastor asked for praise reports. And one gal raised her hand. And she said these words, and it kind of blew me away. I am thankful for the tragedies that have not befallen on me. And I thought, man, that's a different way of looking at it, right? I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for the money to pay bills. I'm thankful for a running car and a home to keep me warm. But I'm thankful for the things that haven't happened, really. Well, that evening, we're driving home, and I got to meet this guy named Jerky. True story. His name was Jerky. Jerky was an 8-point buck. And as I was driving home on this back road, me and Jerky about got closer than I really wanted to be. Jerky ran right out in front of me. And I mean, I missed Jerky by inches. And I began to think, that's exactly what that lady was talking about. The things that don't happen. We're unaware of what God holds back. I once seen a cartoon. It was a meme or something where this guy was complaining because he kept getting hit by a pebble every kind of 5 minutes. And he was just complaining. And then it kind of pulled back. And here was Jesus bent over getting pelted by stones. And every once in a while, a little pebble would fall through Jesus's hands and hit the guy. And the guy was complaining, why would God let me get hit by a pebble? The whole time Jesus was getting pelted by boulders, saving this man. So in our narrative, one man stops. One man comes back to Jesus because he realizes everything in my life changed today. I get to go home and see my kids. I get to go home and be with my wife. I get to go back to synagogue. I get to go back to work. Everything has changed because Jesus healed me. And he was thankful. Wow. No longer an outcast. There in your notes, many people fail to see their need to offer God praise and thanksgiving for the healings in our lives, as well as those times that the Lord shields us from calamity. And again, first time in so long that he got to see his family. Again, I'm going to meddle just a little. What if we had to be honest about our spiritual condition? Check this out. What if this week we all got to wear a t-shirt? Adulterer. Liar. Thief. Whatever. And we had to walk around. And anyone we came in contact with, we had to yell, we're unclean. I'm a liar. Stay away from me. Here's an even better one. How about your Sunday come to meeting clothing? You look righteous. You're so good looking, all of you. And yet I put on the big screen, you know, Bob is blank. How'd you like that to happen? But that's who we are. We're these lepers and we're not having to yell out. Look at verse 19 again. It says, and he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Faith. Before we get too carried away about what that is, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Imagine that. The things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Wow, how do you present evidence of things not seen? There in your notes, faith is weighing the evidence of what God has said would happen and then believing him, especially when we cannot see the evidence with our physical eyes. How did this man's faith heal him? That's the question I have. Jesus said, your faith will make you well. Was it something he did? No, it was confidence in what Jesus had done. It was confidence. The power of Christ and that alone healed this man. And the power of Christ alone has healed us spiritually. We haven't done anything. Salvation is a gift from God. But we trust what God has said. We trust that God said, I sent my son. He took the cross. He was dead. He was buried. He rose on the third day. Place your faith in that. God said it. I believe it. Eureka. You are saved. So this man comes back to Jesus. And Jesus says, your faith has healed you. But the nagging question, where are the nine? Where are the nine? Where are they? Roman numeral 4, the other men. Now imagine, you don't want to really be mean to these other nine. Because imagine, maybe it had been a very long time. Maybe it had been 6 months. Maybe it had been a year or 18 months. Who knows? But the second that the priest declared them clean and said, you can now go back to the synagogue. You can now go back to your wife. You can now go back home. All of a sudden, maybe they are thankful. But instead of running back to Jesus, they run home. There in your notes, many other things may have occupied the men's time and thoughts and taken the place of the Lord within their life. So they were preoccupied with life and forgot to go back to Jesus. So here's the question for all of us. How about us? Do we get so preoccupied with life that we forget to thank Jesus? I'd love to tell you that's never happened, but I'd be lying, and I can't lie up here because I'm afraid of lightning. You know, when the religious leaders were trying to trap Jesus, they asked him a question and said, what's the most important law there is? And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God with all of you, and then love your neighbors. And so only this man put Jesus in the rightful place of his life. Only this man had Jesus on the throne of his life. And here's a question for us. How about us? How about me? Do I put Jesus first in my time and my talents and my treasures and my worship? Is he number one? And do I do things his way? I don't know. But I want you to notice something else of what it says. It says, with a loud voice, he glorified God. Think about this. All 10 of those men had a loud voice when they were praying for healing. Think about this. We don't know all the narrative, but I just kind of picture Jesus kind of cruising around with this huge crowd following. Here's these 10 lepers that can't get anywhere near the crowd, and they're yelling, Jesus, hey, we're over here. Heal us, Master, Savior, here we are. And they're all yelling. I imagine it was much louder than that. That's in my mind. That's what I imagine. But this man was loud with the praise. How many of us scream and cry to Jesus when we need, but we forget to scream and praise just to worship? And I'm not wanting to be one of these churches that we go, you know, doing cartwheels down the aisles or anything. I'm not saying that. But we lift our voice and thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Thank you, Lord. And so by grace, this man was healed. But his response was to worship the one who was worthy of all praise. I want you to, again, think about King David. I brought him up last week. But think about King David with all his moral failures and all that he did. He was still quick to always thank the Lord for everything that he did. Psalm 107:1, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good, for his mercy endures forever. But what about he's still good? What about when he is still good? We are saved by grace. And we should live that out loud for everybody. But here's the thing, there in your notes, thankfulness is a discipline. It's a discipline. We're not saved by our thankfulness. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But thankfulness is a discipline like any other discipline. Disciplines take hard work. Discipline takes something on our part. And if you practice enough, here's my promise to you. And this is a money-back guarantee, by the way. If you practice this discipline enough, you will see life changes, just like that gal that I told you had that debilitating thing. You will see life changes, and I'm telling you, you will be amazed. I'm not talking about, you know, this name it and claim it mentality the church has gone into, but I am talking about a positive mental attitude. If you have a positive mental attitude, it will change your way of thinking. It will change your life. Philippians 4:8 very clearly tells us that we ought to meditate on the praiseworthy things, that we ought to meditate on the good things, the things that are, that do cause thankfulness. And so as we're thankful people, it will change you, I guarantee. And again, verse 19, he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. There in your notes. Again, faith is taking God at his word and desiring his will to be done, not my own. Jesus told this man what to do. The man did it. And he trusted the Lord to work everything else out. That's faith. God tells you to do it, and you trust him with the results. But this, Jesus, you don't understand. If I do this, this could happen. Do it his way. Trust him with the results. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So people who have this thankful attitude, it just changes us. And let me tell you some ways you can show your family members. By the way, really quickly, by a show of hands, how many people this holiday season are going to be around non-believing family members? Let me see your hands. The rest of you can raise your hands. I know you're lying. It's okay. You want to show your family members what Jesus looks like practically? You know, here it is. Remember your condition before Christ. God didn't get a bargain with any of us. Recognize our real need is Jesus himself. Start to obey the way the Lord says to do things and leave the consequences to him. And then share what God has done through your life. People need to hear it. So let's get practical. You know, I began to think about this as I was writing this message, and I thought, you know, we live in a world of entitled people, do we not? Everybody, I read an article about this lady who had cancer, and she said, I didn't deserve this. And I thought, boy, howdy, if we got what we deserved, And I mean, I know it's tough. I know it's a tough thing, but I didn't deserve this. But we live in a world of entitled people that feel like they deserve more blessing and more abundance. And I deserve. But in scripture, we read the importance of being thankful for what we have and being content. Godly contentment. Here's the bad news. Romans 6:23 tells us what we deserve. For the wages of sin is death. But then it's followed up by my favorite word in all the Bible, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of our sin is death, but Jesus loved us and provided a cure for our leprosy. You know, as you study the life of Jesus, you find out he was thankful in everything he did. Let me just give you a couple of for instances. Remember when he fed the 5,000? With a couple of sardines and some crackers. Remember that? Before the feeding of the 5,000, you know what he did? He thanked the Father. The night he was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it. And he was going to share with his disciples. What did he do? He thanked the Father. This attitude of gratitude was seen throughout Jesus's life, even knowing full well what was coming upon him. You see, gratitude shifts our focus on me to him. That's what gratitude does. Let me give you another example. So we see Jesus and how thankful he was, how humble he was. The Apostle Paul wrote several letters called the prison epistles. Epistle is just a famous word for letter. The prison letters Paul wrote, and Colossians was one of those prison epistles. This is what he said, Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And here's the tough part, 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And whatever you do, our gratitude strengthens our relationship with Jesus, and it's a wonderful example to everybody else as well. Do you know that even during trials, we can be thankful? Because we're live streaming, and some of you may know the gentleman, I'm not going to give you a lot of details, but I had a conversation yesterday afternoon, and of course, the message was already written, but I had a conversation with this gentleman, and we've been praying for one another and having different conversations, and the gentleman's had an ailment. He's 15 years younger than me, but he's had this ailment that's pretty debilitating, and he's had it for 10 months. And what was convicting and encouraging all at the same time is he began to tell me a story. And he said, let me tell you something, as I've had all these different medical issues, it has really taught me to press into Jesus. I've never been so close to Jesus in all my life. And though I don't like it, I actually am thankful for it because it has drawn me into him and it's made me count on him when I can't walk and when I'm bedridden and all these things. And I was like, oh man, oh man, my complaining heart, Lord, forgive me. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said this in James 1:2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Being thankful when we're going through it is really a testimony to how good our God is. I want to end by giving you three practicals. Write these down. These are three practical things that we can all do to maintain that thankfulness in life. The first one is this. Keep a journal. Keep a journal. Let me tell you why it's so important to keep a journal. You know, when we have prayer requests, we think it's the end of the world, right? We think that God can never see us through this. God can never take care of this. And we're, oh, Jesus, do you hear me? But when we keep a journal and then we go back and we write the answer to that prayer, when we get down the road a piece or two, I think that's what the Southerners say, when we get down the road a piece or two and we're going through something else, because life throws these curveballs at us, we can look back and say, wow, Jesus was so faithful here, 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 and here, and thank him for the times he was faithful while we're currently going through it. So keep a journal. That's number one. The next one is we should express thanksgiving in every single one of our prayers. You're even praying for somebody, whatever, thank you, God, for what you've done. And you're like, you're nuts. Why aren't you just praying for their healing? No, thank you, God, for what you've done already and what you're going to do. Thank you, Lord. I trust you. Your will be done. And by doing that, it reminds us that God is the giver of all good gifts. And it reminds us to look to the one who can with a thankful heart. And the last one's this. Share your testimonies of thanksgiving with everybody else, believers and non-believers. Like for the believer, you'll encourage them. For the non-believer, you'll show a witness that no matter what's happening to you, you trust. Your trust isn't just lip service. You trust even when it's not going well. These three responses will help to remind us to have a response of thanksgiving to Jesus. There in your notes, finally, we find thankfulness throughout Scripture, and it's demonstrated in the life of Jesus Christ. Thankfulness as a spiritual discipline is a vital part of your life as well. You know, again, thankfulness can change our heart. It can transform us. And by the way, it's the best kind of worship. When we're thankful, it is the best kind of worship, because what we're saying is God is sovereign and he can do what he wants to do. He can heal me in a microsecond, or he can allow this to go on that I will press into him. God is sovereign. God is all powerful. Thank you, Lord. But it transforms us in that PMA, again, that positive mental attitude, looking to Jesus for all that he's done will transform us. I don't know about you, but I love to pray for people, mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice. I love to pray for people, but you know who I'm attracted to is thankful people. I'm not attracted to Debbie Downers. I'm just not. I'm attracted to people who brighten up my day. And even as they're going through it, they're like, Jesus loves me. And I know he's got a plan. If he takes me out, hallelujah. I will be worshiping at his feet. Beat you there. If I remain, I serve the Lord. The Apostle Paul said it best, right? To live is Christ, to die is gain. Jesus loves you. And if you're his kid, not one tear goes wasted, not one trial goes wasted. Thankful hearts show the world that we trust what Jesus is doing. Worship team, please come on up. We'll be in the back. Love to pray for you. If you could stay afterwards and grab the chairs and help set up and all that good stuff, whatever you can do would be great. But I don't want us to be thankful one day a year. I want us to be thankful every day of the year. And it will change you, transform you into the image of Christ.
Thank you for listening to a message from Living Faith Fellowship. Join us every Sunday morning in person at 9 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. or online at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Watch our live stream on our website, YouTube, or Facebook. Our website is livingfaithklamath.com. Find us on social media by searching for Living Faith Fellowship Klamath. You can also find all of our links in the description of this week's episode. All sermons are available on our website. Find resources at the top and then click on sermons. If you want to show your appreciation, you can tell others about us, subscribe to our podcast, and you can also leave a review so more people can hear the Word of God. Thank you again, and God bless you.